As much as we seek to have self-control, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power and love, and God has given us a spirit of self-control. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and self-control. God's Spirit does this. You access His grace by strength. You multiply yourself. You have a mindset. God endows this to you. It's Him, yet not I, but Christ in me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Welcome back to Live in the Light, friends. Thankful as always for your joining us here today. And we're continuing on in our study in the book of 2 Timothy. And if you can ever accuse the Apostle Paul of writing without urgency, which I don't think you can, you certainly cannot do that with this letter. Paul knows his end is near. Church history, in fact, speaks to this being his last letter. And it is a personal letter to his co-worker, to his protege, to his friend, Timothy. It's personal, but it's urgent. And in today's verses, we're going to catch a glimpse of that tone in a message entitled, The Fight Plan. In a world that can be so hostile to Christ, the follower of Jesus needs to know how to fight in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Things are difficult for Timothy, and Paul tells him how to be strong in the Lord. A good word for all of us today. So let's dive in and let's learn more. Here's Robbie with today's message.
He comes supernaturally against all odds, fills us, graces us, strengthens us to fight the good fight of the faith. Hey, Timothy, you got no chance apart from being strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. How do we access the grace of Christ? We talked about this a little bit. Think about it. We access it right now through his word. We access it through prayer. We access his grace by the design of his body, the church. We access his grace by being in community and fellowship and love and the extension of his design of serving and using our giftedness. We access this by depending on him fully. Timothy, we cannot be strengthened apart from truly the grace that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, some have been faltering and weakened because they have distance themselves again from the grace of Jesus Christ. But we cannot fight this fight without him. No chance. Jesus holds inexhaustible supply of grace. Oh, church, let's seek him for the strength that only he can give. So I like that this is the first fight plan item because it probably is the most important. If you don't have strength, again, good luck with anything. Fight plan number two, though, was this. Fight plan number two, I must multiply through mentoring. That's interesting. I must multiply through, to fight the good fight, I got to multiply myself through mentoring. Look at verse two. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So I love this. Paul's fight plan for himself and for Timothy is the opposite of inertia. It's a call to action. It's a call to growth. It's a call to discipleship. It's a call to multiplication. Again, a huge danger of the season we've been in with all the restrictions and all that's gone on, and for the church, a huge danger for the church is this. Many believers are not active. Many believers are not using giftedness. Many believers are not serving. Many believers are not pouring into others. Many believers are not discipling. And the problem with that is that when you're not serving, when you're not discipling, when you're not using giftedness, when you're not really in God's will, then the problem with that, it's like a muscle that you don't use. A muscle that's not used starts to wither. And then you start to become flabby and it starts to get weakened. That spiritual muscle must be exercised. So Paul's exhorting Timothy here. He says, one of the best ways to fight the good fight, Timothy, is to actually throw some punches. It's like you got to actually get in the ring. You got to throw some punches to use what God's entrusted to you in order to fight the good fight. So people who disengage the entire time will never actually engage, and then they won't have impact upon others. One of the great callings of the Christian life is discipleship, to go and make disciples. And what's awesome by God's design is discipleship so often activates blessing. When your giftedness is being used, when you are multiplying yourself into others, it can be fatiguing. There can be times where you grow weary, but within that, God strengthens. Within that, we find joy. Within that, there's satisfaction. Within that, there's contentment. Within that, there's great, again, purpose as we feel ourselves being used of the Spirit to grow others around us. Conversely, to do nothing and sit there might feel good for the moment, but you sit on your spiritual couch being lazy the whole time and you start to become so despondent and discouraged because you're not fulfilling that which God has ultimately called you to do. Teach others also. Multiply yourself to disciple. I want to be crystal clear right now. It is 100% God's will that every believer multiply themselves through mentoring on some form, on some level. Big or small, is 100% God's will that he has saved us, every single one of us, to be used to see other people grow in Jesus Christ. And that's when you start to use that muscle instead of withering, that spiritual muscle gets used and all of a sudden, again, it gets stretched but comes back stronger. And that's how we grow in Christ. That's how we mature. That's why he says, Timothy, you want to fight the good fight? Multiply that which you've been entrusted with, pour that into others that they might also, and the kingdom starts to advance. We've seen this slide before, but I want to show it to you again. Notice the four generations in this one verse, verse two. Have you seen this before? I've always loved this. Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to take what you've been given. So Paul passes on to Timothy, and then he says, I want you to take what I've given to you, heard from me, and I want you to entrust to faithful men. And then these faithful men and women, they will teach others also. So you have this massive multiplication effect. And imagine if every one of these guys start to do the same thing, and then they start to pour down, and then all of a sudden, bum, 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 bum. See, every one of us is supposed to be here. Again, you're like, well, I'm just a youth. I don't know much. Are you saved in Christ? You know something, man. Like big or small, every one of us. Or say, well, I'm kind of, you know, getting later in stage, whatever. I'm telling you, as the Lord leads in prayer and to take what we've been given, the power of what happens here, this is all in verse two. Do you want to fight the good fight? It's amazing how going on the offensive here does us such good. There's one more slide I want you to see, a summary sentence here. Look at this. In this time right now, we cannot allow a physical virus to become a spiritual virus of fear and apathy among us. See, right now, for some who want it, this is giving every excuse to become this. For those who are lukewarm, for those who are just naturally complacent, apathetic, you have the, some sitting at home right now watching this online, and you're letting this result in this. This apathy and fear is not God's will. So this is happening. This cannot result in this. This now results in a double down to say, how am I going to fight the good fight to make sure this is not upon my life? You can't allow physical become spiritual. Satan wants this to become this. Our flesh wants this to become this. We got to think so clear. We got to know where we stand. We got to know what God has called us to do. We got to fight the good fight. And one of the best ways we fight the good fight is to get in the ring, throw some punches. By that, I mean discipling, mentoring, multiplying ourselves to get in the ring. We can't let physical restrictions become spiritual ones. We are called to fight through this. You know, you heard today already that our groups launched this past week in the strange season we're in. But so thankful for groups and the community and God's design for accountability and discipleship and encouragement and prayer and forms of serving and love and compassion and all that goes into a group. One of the groups you may not be aware of right now, but we're going to be launching this in the next week or so. We're calling them Timothy groups. In light of the intention of 2 Timothy, Paul pouring into the younger generation, we're launching Timothy groups in about a week from now. What's a Timothy group? It's men and women from mid-teens to mid-20s seeking to grow in godliness through discipleship. We want to specifically, at this time in our church, pour into, again, the younger generation from mid-teens to mid-20s. What's it going to be? It's going to be a weekly small group, either in person or online. those committing to prayer meetings, journaling, scripture memorization, serving, evangelism, the 5G life. So in some ways it's serious, but it's just such an awesome opportunity. From 8 to 10 weeks, launching October 18th. Registration this week, registration. So right now, you're a young person here right now, mid-teens, mid-20s, you're like, man, I've never really been intentionally poured into in this way. Now's your chance. We hope to serve as many people who sign up. How do I sign up? Again, online, hopeful.ca series, and sign up online right here, website. Go online, register, mid-teens, mid-20s. This could be one of the greatest transfer. I'm going to be leading one of these, Lord willing. I'm excited about that. Pouring into young men. Why? Because we want to fight the good fight. We want to train the next generation. Take that seriously. You can sign up today and be in a group, one of the key leaders in our church, 8 to 10 weeks, and maybe your life will change as a result. Holy Spirit, speak. Speak to your church. Speak encouragement. Speak eternity. Call into action your children. And it's so important, the grace to be strengthened with, the multiplication through mentoring. And fight plan number three is this. My mindset is crucial. My mindset. Look at verses 3 to 6 now. Look at what Paul says to Timothy. These are such great verses, Timothy. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. How about this? An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And Timothy, it's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. One word that describes these verses is mindset. Paul's like, Timothy, your mindset is critical as you seek to fight this good fight. Why? Well, our mindset determines our direction in life. Our mindset often determines our expectations or the clarity we have or don't have in life. Notice this, the Holy Spirit is always seeking to renew our mindset in one form or another. Again, it's Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Colossians 3 verses 1 and 2, set your minds on things above, not the things that are on the earth. I read even this morning in my own personal reading in Ephesians chapter 4, again, being renewed by the Spirit of your minds. I was like, that's awesome. There it is again. Being renewed by the Spirit of your minds. Your mindset indicates so much. What is my mindset saying? Again, in verse 3, he's like, Timothy, have the mindset of a soldier in terms of sharing in suffering. So a soldier enters into a battle with the mindset it's going to be difficult. Think of it. You and I sit here right now in this nation because many decades ago, many, many, many men and women gave their lives for the freedom of this country in different wars. They sacrificed their mindset was self-sacrifice and suffering that allows us to be here right now as a result of what they've done for us because they had a mindset of a good soldier. A good soldier has a mindset of sacrifice, selflessness, and suffering. And then Paul moves on here. He explains further in verse 4. He says, no soldier then gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. This is such an important verse. Let me put this up on the screen for you, okay? Check out this. The soldier of a mindset here is single-mindedness. Single-mindedness. He's like, hey, Timothy, no good soldier is distracted by the worldliness around them. A good soldier does not get, know that word, entangled. The good soldier doesn't get caught up in, distracted, losing focus, off mission. The soldier is not entangled in civilian pursuits. Civilian pursuits here is not necessarily bad things, but they're not best things. But these things can become bad things if they become idolatrous and they take us off the main thing of Jesus Christ. Think about it. No good soldier would let this happen. Think of how disciplined, how focused a good soldier is. Just so regimented, so ready, so focused, just laser vision. Again, just ready at the call and serious for what's at hand. Paul's like, Timothy, this is who you are supposed to be. I'm telling you too, I think that civilian pursuits will be one of the great regrets of followers of Jesus Christ in the end. You understand, right, that all believers will stand in judgment before Christ in the end? This is not a judgment of salvation. The Bible tells us this will be a judgment before Christ of what we've done with what's been entrusted to us. We will be judged on whether our work for him has been hay and stubble or gold, silver, and precious stones. There is a judgment coming, 2 Corinthians 5, for believers as to what they have done with what's been entrusted to you and me. There will be a day we have to stand before and to show the Lord again, what have we done with the talents, the minas, the opportunity that he has entrusted to us? Again, I think one of the greatest regrets of Christ followers will stand before in the glory and the holiness of Christ in judgment and be like, I totally wasted too much time. Speaking of wasting too much time, recently I watched this documentary. Maybe you've seen it. I know a lot of people have, and a lot were recommending it to us. It's called The Social Dilemma. It's on Netflix. It's a powerful drawing back the curtain on the dangers of social media. I do recommend it in terms of just, it's like a lot of the makers of these platforms or apps that are coming out and saying, listen, it's basically a disaster. All of these things are designed, listen, if you know what social media really is, right? I'm not saying there's not, I'm not gonna go there. Hey, social media, okay? If you think about it at its base, it is just a flood of information that fills the mind. And most of it is absolute nonsense. Most of it, again, even if you say it's neutral, well, it's neutral leading to basically nothing. It's just time wasting, opinion spewing. You gotta step back and be like, what am I actually filling my mind with incessantly on a daily basis? And now you have non-Christians who were developers and inventors of these apps starting to raise the warning flags and saying, it's really a problem. Danger of spending our lives on nothing. Other kind of civilian pursuits, Jesus warns us of bigger barns. Paul warns us of the love of money. Jesus in the parable of the sower says, many will fall away due to the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. I've always been impacted by this truth. Try to say it to myself a lot. It's the adage, it's the saying, the more you own, the more it will own you. That's a very good piece of wisdom. That's why I love and long for a form of simplicity, and I want to increase it in my life. You watch situations and you know, the more you own, the more it owns you. And so many people have so much stuff and then they have so many different pursuits and distractions that they are taking care of all their stuff that they never actually look up at Christ. That's a tragedy in my mind. Single-mindedness. You don't get caught up in civilian pursuits. Here's what Daniel Henderson said, and he said it so well. The devil does not have to destroy a Christian. He only has to distract him. The devil sometimes, he's really smart here. Like, he's clever. He knows if he went for this right away, we'd be like, oh man, I'm not letting you come near me. But he's clever and subtle. So he goes here, but when he does that, sometimes it ends up being this anyways. If I can just get that man, woman, child, whatever it is, distracted, then all of a sudden, drift. You only have to take the rudder of a ship a slight off, you give enough time, and the destination's here. I mean, slight over time ends up way over here. Just a slight turning of the rudder and give it enough time, and the ship goes off course drastically, way far off from its destination where it's supposed to be. The mindset of single-mindedness. In verse 5 now, I love these metaphors he gives. Then he turns to an athlete. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So the mindset of an athlete here is self-discipline, integrity, self-discipline. Evidently, Paul loves sports. There's another sport metaphor he uses in one of his letters. He says, every athlete must compete according to the rules. So several commentators point out this fact that in ancient Olympics, each athlete had to complete a 10-month training period and they had to swear to an oath that they had done this. These were the rules. The athlete doesn't get to make up their own rules. The athlete competes with integrity and they succeed through self-discipline. Some try to cheat, but in the end, they will not succeed. I was thinking about athletes who try to kind of cut the corners or cheat. I thought about that famous example in the Boston Marathon. Her name was Rosie Ruiz. And she started to run the Boston Marathon race, but some part in the race, she kind of took off. She went off course. And on the last mile, you guys remember this? Some of you are older, maybe remember this, whatever. Old like me, okay? And in the last mile, she gets in the crowd. It's all packed. And she kind of finds her way into the race and starts running. And she finishes the last mile. And everyone thought she won. She comes through, she gets the accolades, she puts like the wreath on her head. She's all there. Everyone's shocked. Where did this runner come from? And it's like 3 or 4 days later, whatever it was, they find out she cheated and entered it, and then she lost everything now. And then her fame now is recognized as the woman who cheated in the Boston Marathon. I think she just passed away recently. Still that was what her whole life was known as. She tried to enter the race in the final lap. She didn't meet according to the rules. She cheated. She was found out. Do you know how many people are trying to do that with God? You know how many people are going through life and they just got to find their way? At the very end, I'll sneak into the race. I'll sneak in. God won't notice. And I'll try to finish the last mile and go through and somehow get the accolades, whatever. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Every athlete must compete according to the rules, integrity, self-discipline. You know what's amazing to me too is how much the Bible tells us how God cares about self-discipline. For God gives the Spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Here we see an athlete competes with self-control, self-discipline, self-mastery, integrity according to the rules. It's amazing to me. Again, God cares so much about us by his Spirit and the fruit of his Spirit overcoming the flesh and sin in self-control. You want to fight the good fight? I mean, I'm talking to some people here right now. Listen, maybe at home right now. And you say, our lives are not exactly characterized by self-control. It will be very hard to fight the good fight as you sit there continuing to watch mounds of pornography on a weekly basis. It's just a matter of time before you self-destruct. Seen it too many times. Flat out laziness and apathy, never reading the Bible, never praying, never seeking the Lord. It's just a matter of time before you self-destruct. A marriage of unfaithfulness and infidelity, you draw that back and there's patterns of self-destruction with a lack of self-control. And in the end, many people get destroyed in the process. But remember, as much as we seek to have self-control, God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us a spirit of power and love. And God has given us a spirit of self-control. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, and self-control. God's Spirit does this. You access his grace by strength. You multiply yourself. You have a mindset. God endows this to you. It's him, yet not I, but Christ in me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you let him be full in you. And that's where the self-discipline comes from. And then I love this. Verse 6, so we have a mindset of single-mindedness and athlete discipline. And then verse 6, it's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. So the mindset of a farmer now, hard work. Now look at the screen there for a second. Look at how all three of these connect. Look at that, soldier, athlete, farmer. Hey, Timothy, you want to fight the good fight? Look, son. This is who you got to be. This is the mindset you got to have. Think of a farmer. Why a farmer? Well, think of how farmers work hard. They're called to labor. They're called to endure. They're called to get up early. They're called to toil. We had some farmers in the last service. I hope we have some farmers here today too. Maybe some farmers watching. Love farmers. Bless farmers. Some of our family comes back from a farmer background. A lot of respect. Called to toil. Called to patience with the crops. Called to hard work. Hard work. And you know what's amazing to me is the emphasis on work ethic in the New Testament, in the Bible. The emphasis of hard work upon the Christian life. Christ's followers are not to be lazy. Right here, undeniable. In fact, in our context, Paul, pastor, speaking to Timothy, pastor, in the context here, a lazy pastor is an oxymoron. Now, forgive me, I couldn't resist. I just have to add, a lazy pastor is a moron. He is. He is. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand what he's called to. Right? Like it's right here, right? Laziness is the antithesis of following Christ. His strength, right? His power, yet our work for him and what he's entrusted to us. Like look here on the screen here. Look at this. I mean, young people right now, young people, just again, this is one of these moments of like wisdom's knocking somewhere. Like wisdom is calling you right now. Hey man, you want to be fruitful in your life? Check it out. Like there's no exceptions to this. Young people, like, listen up, man. I'm serious about this, right? Like, look. I want to be successful in life. There it is. I want to see fruit in my life. Woohoo! There it is again, you know? I want to be used for Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's not supposed to be a secret. It's a mindset of understanding. Single mind, seek first the kingdom. Self-discipline, the fruit of the Spirit, and hard work. As God dwells in you, and laziness, apathy, complacency, we'll see you in the gutter someday. It's always the way it's been. There are no exceptions to this. You can turn the corner right now. Like this could be the day of change. Our world just promotes nothing. Timothy, if you want to fight the good fight, you got to have a mindset like this. Timothy, you got to have the mindset. Paul knows he did it. If you want to fight the good fight, finish the race, keep the faith. Timothy, you got to have a mindset. It's so important. You got to be strengthened by grace. You got to multiply yourself. You got to have a mindset. And lastly and briefly, fight plan number 4, I must meditate for true meaning. Look at verse 7. And all I want to say about this is as simple and as clear as it says. Look at what he says. Hey, Timothy, think over, ponder, meditate over what I say. Think about the truth. Meditate on this truth. For the Lord will give you understanding in, what's the last word there? Everything. Thank you over here. Everything. The Lord will give you understanding in everything. Well, that's quite a promise, isn't it? Meditate. Think upon, dwell on the truth. For the Lord will give you understanding in every question. Do you got a fight plan? Like when you walked in today, did you have a fight plan for the Christian life? Well, you do now. Like you do now. And the application right now in verse 7, think on the, like take time today. Think on what the Holy Spirit, what has to change, what needs to go, what needs to be added, what habits need to disappear, what focus do I need to have? Think on these things, men, women, children, young people, think on these things. And the Lord will give you understanding. One of the blessings of today is we get to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. What I love about this is that, man, you want to fight the good fight? Then you think on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and his gospel. You know what I love about this? We go into the Lord's Supper. Look at the first 3 words of verse 8. See it there? Remember Jesus Christ. Perfect. Remember Jesus Christ because Jesus is everything.
Thanks so much for listening to Live in the Light. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. But that's only made possible by you, our listeners. We're kept on the air by your generous gifts and donations. If you're interested in giving to Live in the Light, you can do so on our website at liveinthelight.ca or give us a call at 1-844-225-4448. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light. I wanna